This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning, Laura. I'm pretty good. I'm running like my hair is on fire today, but that's the mark of a great day. How are you?
I'm very good. We're taping on Friday morning this week, and it's a beautiful sunny day. I'm always happy on sunny days.
So yes, and it's nice and cool.
It what?
It's nice and cool out.
Yes, and it's going to get a little warmer. It's been beautiful. Yesterday was absolutely beautiful. Gorgeous. So,
I love
yes,
it.
It's all good. All good, Jewel. And last weekend, I had a busy weekend. We had the hospice annual remembrance walk, Hospice of the Sacred Heart annual remembrance walk at McDade Park last Saturday morning, as we've spoken about on air, and it was a huge success, and people loved it, and it was just, it was emceed, guest of honor is Miss Stacy Lang, who did a beautiful job, and always, which I love, talks about her dad that she lost several years ago, and when she was first asked to be the honorary chair, it was like, I think she said it was a year after her dad had passed, and it was very emotional. It was before she was married and before babies, and her mom was with her, and her mom comes with her every year. And now she has two little babies, Owen and Cora, who I got to hold, little four-month-old Cora, who was just a little doll. And Owen was there, and Jake, her Jake Dana Stevens, who is the son of one of my favorite guys in town, Donnie Stevens, who graduated high school with me in 1979 from West Scranton High School, the best high school going. And Jake was there. He did the photography, the team photos and such. And we just had a beautiful morning. It was a great day. The rain held up. There were little misty moments, but really nothing at all that caused any issue. It was, you know, for the most part dry, and everybody was in a good mood. And what I love about this walk, and I say it all the time, and not just because I'm involved in the beginning stages since the beginning, but it is a walk where it is very calm, peaceful, thoughtful. You come and there's an hour and a half of registration and time for children to do things. We had Kaylee Cornell doing hula hoop work, which was, everybody had a blast, both adults and their children. It was great. And we had Barb Callahan doing balloon art, and Catherine Swoven from Spirited Art was there doing she oversees a big poster, like it's a mural that we hang in the hospice unit in Dunmore. We hang at the door, when you walk in the door, it's to the right-hand side, and every year we take one down and put the new one up. And everybody puts their mark in their own way. The date is on there, and everybody gets to contribute. So it's very much hands-on, in the sense that you feel like you've left a piece of your heart there. And then a couple of her girls did face painting, and they did a beautiful job. And then, of course, we have Damien the magician, who was walking around, and you could hear people laughing and clapping at tables, like picnic tables. And I look, and of course, every time that happened, Damien was there sitting with them going, you know, doing his tricks. And he's just really, really good. And Fidelity's ice cream truck came, and Kelly Laird and Jerry Auriemma were with the truck, and it was so good to see Mr. Auriemma. I love him, and Kelly. And, you know, it was Mansour's did hot dogs and chocolate chip cookies and a nice bag of chips, and Elon Garden supplied all the water for us. And we had coffee from Krispy Kreme in the morning. And just the then we had the balloon release at before the walk, and beautiful baskets. We had huge grand prizes. We had four cash prizes, two $500 prizes, and two $250 prizes. And all of that money was donated by the staff who made contributions to the walk to give away at, you know, it was part of the grand prizes that people could get. The Meyer had supplied a 36-inch Blackstone grill, and there was a big screen television, and just so many good prizes, tons and tons of baskets, a 50-50 that the lucky person who walked away got almost $700 that morning from the 50-50. Just everything about it is a DJ, I call him Academy Award winning DJ Jason Miller, because that's his name. And he's just a great guy, and he does a phenomenal job. And then Endeavor Audio and doing all what they did to get our sponsors up in lights for the morning, and just all every single one from the Wright Center, who's our presenting sponsor, to the T-shirt sponsor, which was Senior Healthcare Solutions, and the bag sponsor. We had great reusable, very sturdy reusable grocery bags. That was PNC. And we had so many sponsors who just, there were 40-some sponsors, Julie. So
oh
it's just, yes, it's a wonderful day. WNEP, that Lamar advertising with our billboards. WNEP did our, they were our media partner. And they helped everybody was just, it was a phenomenal day. Dan Simmerl advertising, of course, I said Mansour's, who supplies all of the food as an in-kind gift to hospice for that morning. It's just, and it's, you know, they're good quality hot dogs. The chips are a nice big bag of chips and a nice big chocolate chip cookie. So, and then the ice cream. It was just a beautiful, beautiful morning. And I just love it because everybody comes together, whether your loved one was taken care of by Hospice of the Sacred Heart or not. If you lost a loved one and you wanted them remembered, you could have a team dedicated to them. Some people had T-shirts made. You get a beautiful performance long sleeve T-shirt and the bag with every registration. But some people had their own, and they would walk in memory of someone. There's signs all over the whole walkway that tells you, you know, this team and that team and sponsor names. It's really a wonderful morning of people to come talk about their loved ones, reflect on their lives and have some commonality of loss, that people who just want to talk about their loved ones, and people are there to listen because they all want to do the same thing. So it's a beautiful, beautiful morning. It's a very fast morning. I was on my way out at 10 minutes to 12. So it's a couple hours in the morning. We got there at 7. I got there at 7:15. And it was just a beautiful day. So it's something that I just think people should really look at doing. It's just a nice morning, and it's about paying attention to the ones you've lost and your ability to treasure their memories and keep their memories and them alive in their own way. And I said that I once heard this, that people die twice in life. Once when they leave the physical world, and twice when people stop mentioning their name. So I think it's so important to keep doing that. And that's a morning filled with a lot of angels floating around with people talking about them and keeping their memory going, because it is a beautiful day and there's a lot of raw emotion and people just want to be surrounded by people who understand. So it's a great day. It was a great morning. Hats off to Hospice of the Sacred Heart for all they do in this community to help families in their most vulnerable times of their lives when they know that they have a loved one who needs their care. and they are terrific at what they do. I know, for instance, my mom, Ann Cadden-RN, was taken care of beautifully by hospice. As a matter of fact, I have to tell you, you know, Diane's one of my dear friends, Diane Baldy, and I say it all starts at the top. My mother, who was an RN too, Diane stopped over one day to visit my mom. She was at my sister's on hospice care, but home hospice. And my sister had just was on their way up the steps to take my mom up to give her a bath. My mother could do a lot of her own things, but Barbara would always help her. And Diane said to my sister, "You take a break. I'm going to do this." And Barbara said, "No, no." And she said, "No, let me take care of your mother. Nurse to nurse, I'm happy to help her." So Diane Baldy walked up the steps with my mother, and as the CEO of hospice and a nurse, helped my mother with her bath. And my mother, that night I came in to visit, and my mother, I could hear my mother on the phone. And she said to one of her friends, she said, "You will never believe what happened. You'll never believe it." And the woman must have said, "Well, what happened, Ann?" She said, can you believe I was on my way up the steps. Barbara was going to help me with my bath. And Diane Baldy walked in and she said to my Barbara, let me help your mom with this. She said, "Diane Baldy came up and do you know I can tell you that the head of hospice saw my arse." Julie, it was so funny. And she's telling this woman this story. And I walk in, I'm like, "What is she talking about?" And she told me. She helped me get a bath. So, of course, she had to see me. It was funnier. And she said, "We nurses don't care about those things. You just do it, you know." Oh, Julie, it was
okay,
so funny.
Okay, that's not where I thought. That's not where I thought that story was going.
I know. See?
Fantastic. Your delivery is great as always. Oh, my God.
It was great. Well, I wanted to say that at my mother's eulogy, but I had already said so many things that I shouldn't have said, like things that I had to look at Monsignor Bishop Doherty and say, I'm sorry, Bishop, because of things that I was saying, funny things that my mother said. And I wanted to say that, and I thought I better not use. I already had said breast, so I thought I better not say ours too in church. So I didn't. But it's just, you know. And that, of course, it wasn't the fact. What she was really getting at is the head, she called Diane, the head of hospice. That was more important than any, than she didn't care about the other thing. She just was like, did the head of hospice see your arse? You know, like, it was like, she saw mine. So it was pretty funny. But anyway, so that was our morning. And then I have lots more to tell you about the rest of the evening, because then I went to my 45th, Julie, 45th high school reunion, which was a blast, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But in the meantime, since I took up all of our time here, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Catton Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Laurie Catton Show, and I am Laurie Catton, the owner of Laurie Catton Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. And best said by Julie. Julie, tell them what you do.
Thanks, Laurie. I do public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit my website, juliedimmel.com.
There you go. So, Jewel, I was saying at the end of our last segment, other than talking about body parts, I said that I had my 45th West Scranton High School class reunion, and it was so so nice. I had to go elsewhere because I was going up to the Petersonians, or the Petersons, for a Penn State little get-together to watch the Penn State game that evening. And so I stopped in for about an hour and a half before I left to go up to Deb's. And so it was at the Tiki Bar at the Waldorf, and it was outside. It was a great night. As soon as I walked in, a lot of my best buddies were standing there. We were down two of our seven. Two of my friends did not come, but five of us were there. And so we got a quick shot before anything happened. And it was a little misty, play misty for me. And we thought, let's get the shot now. So we had a beautiful shot, which I'm going to send you, Jewel, because maybe you can throw that on Facebook too, because it's adorable.
Okay.
With Miss Invader, one of my dearest, dearest friends, Miss Lisa Ferraro Kazmarek was there. And then we had Linda Chuccio Fazula and Lynn Walsh and Ruth Krakenberg Brudnicki. And the five of us were in a great shot. It was so good to see them. I love them. And it brings such, you know, I have gone to every reunion. I don't stay all the time because I'm always about the Irish goodbye. But
right.
I do go to every one of them. And it's just so fun to see people. And I must have been a pain in the you-know-what, because I remember sitting there saying, wait a minute, who's that over there? Who's that person? Because I just didn't know. And I was like, oh, my God. And so one of my friends, who I love her, and I haven't seen her, and she came to our class late. I think she told me the other day it was 10th grade. And Karen Hape, she was there, and I'm like, who's that blonde with the glasses? And I said, she's so pretty. And somebody said, that's Karen Hape. I said, oh, my God. And then Karen came over, and I gave her a big hug, and I love her. Oh, my God. And Marie Cremacci and Karen Evans and Marcia Tulaney and Karen Jackson and all people who I just Cheryl Dando, my love of all loves. My friend Cheryl Dando and her husband Gordy got married in our senior year. It was, because they're married 46 years. They got married in our senior year of high school, just
wow.
to get married. Yes. And it was strange back then and very young, but I love
yeah.
Cheryl. She's on the reunion committee. She does a great job, along with Michelle Capoza and Billy Winters and Lynn Walsh and Karen Evans, and Ellen Boylan is on there. And they were they're just a great group of people. And so Cheryl does it every year, and they get together, Lynn Walsh, just if I didn't say Lynn, they all get together and pull this thing off. And it's beautifully done. You know, there's our majorette boots and our yearbook was there and all these like memorabilia from high school. And then I left. I didn't get in on the class photo because I had already left for the evening, and then they did, and they had a beautiful like leafless tree that had everybody's picture of who passed away hanging with candles. So it's always a beautiful tribute to those who we lost. And I guess they sent up a lantern in memory of all of our classmates who have gone before us. And it must have been beautiful. I saw it on a video because I left, but it was because you're way up on the East Mountain and at the Tiki Bar, the Waldorf Club, you're way up there. So it looked beautiful. To be honest, at first I thought it was the moon. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so bright. And then when I realized it was the lantern release, so they did one lantern release for that. And that was a beautiful idea. And so it was just such a great night to see so many people and to have, you know, conversations of where they are today and what they're doing. And I just don't like to ever miss, because I think it's so important to see these people, to see where they are in life. And it doesn't matter where they are, though. Everybody, when they come back, they're teenagers in the halls of in the hallowed halls of West Scranton High School. And my high school, I loved. Well, I loved all of my schools. I went to Francis Willard, and I am a proud Scranton School District educated woman. Went to Francis Willard for kindergarten and first grade, whereby my first grade teacher called my mother in because she pulled my hair, and she called my mother in, and my mother went in and said, "Well, why did you pull her hair?" And I, she said, "Do you know, Mrs. Cadden, that your daughter is boy crazy?" I was 7 years old. I was boy crazy. She did. She pulled my hair. Yeah.
Oh,
she did.
Oh, good.
That's
unacceptable.
Well, it was way back in the... Listen, Julie, it was in the end of the 60s. So, you know, she wasn't nasty about it, but she did pull my hair. And my mother said, "Well, you do know," and I loved her. Her name was Miss Curran, and she was a doll. And later in life, I saw her. She was at Scanlon's, in the old Scanlon's on Spruce Street. And said, "Laurie, that woman would like to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." And I went over to her, and she said, "Laureen Cadden?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "I am," whatever her first name is, "Curran, your first grade teacher." I said, "Oh, Miss Curran." She said, "I want you to know, young lady, that I follow your career, and I have paid attention to the things you've done here and what you do and where you are, and I want you to know that I am very proud of the woman you've become." And I said,
thank you
so much. Yes, and I used to run into her then occasionally, and it was always, she lived in the Hill section, and she was very sweet to me and very kind, and she was nice. I loved her. She was a good teacher. It's just when my mother went in, she said, "Well, Miss Curran, you do understand that our neighbors are twin boys, Jimmy and Joe Drury, and Laurie plays with them and is with them all the time. So that's the reason she's with boys, is because they're her best friends." Yeah. But it was so funny that I still got these people to this day. Well, in seventh grade, I was pegged as being boy crazy. And, you know, my father used to say to me, that didn't change much through the years. I said, no, it didn't. But anyway, so then after 2 years of Willard, we moved from 6th Avenue to North Main Avenue in good old Hyde Park, and went to John Marshall and then West Middle School. We were the first class to graduate from the brand new, newly built West Scranton Intermediate School, and we were the first class to graduate. Matter of fact, half of the year we spent elsewhere, and then we were the end of the year, like January, we were able to go into the new school and graduate from West Scranton Intermediate, and then West Scranton High School from 9th to 12th. And I loved every minute of what my high school years were like. I loved it, through the ups, the downs, the this, the that. I loved it. I loved walking through the halls. I can still close my eyes and see it. And and that night last week just brought back all of those wonderful memories, that, which is why I say all the time that people say to me when they, "Are you going to say something about West Side?" And I said, "Yes, I am," because you should never, ever, ever, ever forget where you came from. And I came from West Scranton, straight out of West Scranton, and I love it, and I'm proud of it, and it's where I was raised and had wonderful times and memories. And the people who I know from that neck of the woods and who we are today are some of the greatest people around, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it. We had a great time. I thank all of the committee and all of my friends and all of our graduates who made the class of 1979 a smash hit. So thank you for that, and it was a great, great, great day, Julie. Great night, and happy to be there. So,
you know,
that's my story,
Laurie. I have never gone to a reunion. I don't know why. I just haven't. Hearing you talk about this, I liked school very much. I didn't have a bad time. I think I was lucky in the sense that, you know, now you do hear a lot about bullying, and it's hard to be a kid right now. I really didn't have any of that in my life, thank goodness. And maybe I'll go to the next one after hearing your story.
Yeah, you have to, Jill. It's important to especially if you, even if you didn't, there were people there that, you know, I just loved seeing, and I love that they're interested enough to come back and be part of, you know, how you were, what your, you know, life was like, and the people you've spent so much time with day in and day out, and all of the changes you go through in those ages. And they're the people you spend it with. They're the people you spend it with. So before responsibility set in, someone made a comment. They said, I would love to go back to those years where we didn't have to worry and we had no responsibilities other than whatever we were doing in school and extracurricular. And it's true, like, that you didn't. You know, you had silly worries that when you look back are silly, but it's part of how you grow up and how you become the people you are today. So, yeah, I think it's a very important part to me is for me to go back every year and see people and reconnect, and those old feelings come back, and you just feel good about it. So I had a busy day, Julie, and then we went to the Petersons and watched Penn State win, and John and Deb are doing great, and Meyer and I went up, and we had a nice time for the evening. I was exhausted. We left about 11:30, and I had quite the night. I was at McDade at 7:15 and left Petersons at 11:30. So it was a busy day, but a productive one. And on Sunday, I crashed and didn't do anything except hang out at my house, which I needed. So, but that was, if you can hear my dogs, I'm sorry, in the background. I don't know why they're barking, but they probably see a squirrel on my deck, Julie. That's probably it. So
that's okay. I do think you should send the Facebook, send the pictures over to me, and I'll get them on our Facebook page. And I want to give a shout out to our listeners who have been following our new page. If you haven't yet, it's the Laurie Cadden Show on Facebook. And lots of people are starting to pick it up now and interact with us, and that is wonderful. We appreciate that. It's a great place, a great resource, and we're talking about these things and different events that come up. And I put the links up last week, Laurie's links, and people seem to appreciate that. So we'll keep doing it. And I think you should send over your pictures, and I'll get them up as soon as possible, too, because I think people will love that.
Yeah. Well, I only have the only one I'm going to send you are the ones with my love of loves, my four friends who were with me, minus the two of, and they're the ones we did everything with and hung out with and just were such a part of since grade school. You know, it was second grade. My other friend, Debbie Seca Davis, who wasn't there, I met in grade school at Willard and left her after, you know, first grade, but then reconnected in seventh, and we all became friendly. And Lisa and Ruth and Linda and Lynn and Francine and I all met when I went to John Marshall in second grade, and Linda came in third grade to John Marshall. And I say to Linda all the time, I remember the day she walked in, she had a black beret and pretty, like, light brown hair, and she had a beautiful face and a black turtleneck and a skirt, like a plaid skirt and black tights. And I'll never forget how she looked. And I said, I want to be friends with her. And to this day, she's one of my besties. So that, and I remember exactly what she had on. So, and she was Miss Marshall, by the way. So we had Miss Marshall in the photo and Miss Invader. So here we go. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel, our producer extraordinaire. And Julie D. Immel has a business named appropriately, Julie D. Immel Communications. Julie, tell everybody what you do.
I do public relations and marketing, and if you want to learn more about how I can promote your business or nonprofit, just check out my website, juliedimmel.com.
There you go. So, Julie, we were talking off air about your relationship with one of your teachers that was very formidable for you, if that's the right word to use there.
Yeah.
Is that a good word?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
When you mentioned your Miss Curran, it made me think about my Miss Tate, Joan Tate, because now
Joan
Miss Tate
was your teacher?
Yes. Did you know
Wait.
Joan?
Joan, the leader who did PR for a lot of organizations
yes.
later in life.
That's what
I didn't know she was a teacher.
Yes, she was my first grade teacher. And so I have a good story about this. And you know, October is a month to talk about mentors, because on July, wow, am I okay or what? On October 27th. I know. I must want summer back. I don't know. On October 27th, it's National Mentoring Day. And so I think we'll be talking about our mentors throughout the month. But definitely my Miss Tate falls into that category, because when I was in first grade, I was a very quiet child. And I think because of that, people sometimes thought that I didn't have a lot going on upstairs. You know, everybody thought I was stupid.
Oh,
yes,
geez.
Isn't that nice? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody thought I was dumb. It doesn't happen as much now that I'm older, but when I was young, I just got tossed into that, you know, she's not too bright category for some reason.
Oh, my God.
Miss Tate, yes, it wasn't great. When Miss Tate met me, Miss Tate had, she saw something more. And I remember that she used to leave me. I was the kid that would be in charge of the class when the teacher left the room for a few minutes. Remember that?
Yep.
Did your teachers ever do that? Yeah. So that was
me. Yeah.
I didn't love that role, but I handled it. But Miss Tate actually approached my mom and said, you know, I want to have her tested. And I think my mom thought that she was thinking that I wasn't too bright and going to put me in some kind of remedial situation. And that is not what happened. You know, we got that straightened out afterwards. Everybody realized there was a brain in my head and after I got tested, but that was thanks to Miss Tate. She had me do a presentation about my guinea pig, of all things. I had this little piggy, a long-haired Angora guinea pig, which I would never have now because I can only imagine how the fur would make me itch. But she was beautiful. Her name was Princess, and she was caramel and black and white and kind of almost like a calico cat. Yeah, a little
yeah.
piggy. And I must have talked about her a lot to Miss Tate, as much as I talked at that point. I was, like I said, I was very, very quiet. That changed later on, as you can tell.
Yes.
But I never said much of anything. I just kind of processed things. I was more into observing at that point, less talking. And Miss Tate asked me to come in and give a presentation about Princess. And so I did. I brought Princess in. I talked about what she ate.
Show and tell.
Yes. Yeah, it was like a fancy show and tell, but Miss Tate recorded
yeah.
it. She took that to a board meeting, and I just thought that was so funny, like later on when I heard that she took this to a board meeting. So, but I mean, I worked hard on my presentation and I was very into it. So I did that and I loved Miss Tate and she was very strict. You did not break the rules. You know, you knew that you had to behave and it was great because we learned a lot. She was very nice, but she was strict and I liked her. I liked her a lot. I always did. And I hated moving on to second grade because I missed her. But second grade was great because I had Miss Jennings and I loved her too. But fast forward, you know, 20 some years later, I'm working at the Abington Journal as the editor of this little community paper. And at that point, very often organizations would have volunteers doing publicity. I don't see that
right.
as much now, I don't think. But at that point, there would be committees working with nonprofits, and somebody on the committee would be a publicity volunteer. One day I got a phone call from someone identifying herself as Joan Tate. She was doing publicity for some organization. She was involved in everything. And
I know.
As I'm talking to her, I said,
it's interesting. I said, you know, I had a teacher named Joan Tate when I was little. And she said, what is your last name? And I told her. And she said, oh, Julie Immel from North Scranton. Does your family still have that big old house? How is your mother? How is your brother? She remembered every little detail about my life. And again, this is over 20 years later. She must have taught thousands of children in her career. I couldn't believe she remembered me. So Miss Tate and I reconnected at that point. I would go to her house and pick up pictures because she was a fantastic publicity person. She actually,
absolutely.
I learned a lot from her. But I would go to her house. She had a gorgeous house in Green Ridge, a big old home.
Columbia.
And Yes. And as an adult, to go and hang out with my Miss Tate was truly a gift. And of course, anything she gave me to put in the paper, you know, I made sure that got in.
Of course.
But it was always newsworthy, always timely, always beautifully done. And we worked on a lot of things together, and I really enjoyed that. And so in this month when we're thinking about mentors, I have to acknowledge my Miss Tate, because she was definitely one of the first mentors I ever had early in my life. And then as an adult, as a young professional starting out too. So,
And well, she would never pull my hair.
Yeah, well, Miss Curran, let me make something clear, though. Miss Curran did not, she wasn't doing it like, because that's what, it happened in a way of which it wasn't like deliberately. Yeah, it was just but I said to my, you know, I told my mother that. No, I think she probably was trying to, like, maybe she was not a nasty, she was a wonderful person. So it wasn't like, oh, but it was still, nonetheless, that is how it happened. But it was not done in a deliberate yanking sort of way. It was done in a different way. But anyway, and I'm not making excuses. It's just, you know, I don't want that to be taken out of context. However.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to
infer that.
No, that's okay. You know, that's fine. I should have clarified that anyway. But I want to say that Joan Tate and I got to know each other. She, through committees and organizations and boards, she did everything from a PR. Everybody who wanted PR for their event would work with Joan Tate on so many things. And I can't tell you the shows and the TV shows and different things that I've done, and Joan would call and say, Laurie, I'm doing this for so-and-so. Can you do a show? Can we get them on your show? Can we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And she was a delight and a beautiful, beautiful woman. And I know she was an older woman. She lived to be an older woman. So God bless her soul. She was great, and everybody knew her, and she always looked absolutely beautiful, always.
She must have been a very
pretty young lady, too, because she was always so striking as an older woman.
And really, because of her, that kind of ended the, you know, Julie doesn't have much going on upstairs thing that was happening.
Well, that would be clear. Yeah, that would be very clear. But, yeah, so which school, Julie?
So that was, it doesn't exist anymore. That was Thomas Jefferson, number 25.
And where was that? Oh, where Howard Gardner was.
Yes, for a time they were there. So
yes.
As a kid,
yep.
I could just walk out my back door, basically, and walk over to school. And
mm-hmm.
It was great because my mom would walk me to school in the morning. And then if I wanted to come home for lunch, she'd meet me outside.
I know.
Go home, have lunch. It was
yep.
It was a different time. It was easy. It was manageable. It was, and we had a nice schoolyard there, so you got to go outside and play. You know, I think there's something to be said for those small neighborhood schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And the coming home for lunch, Julie. We used to do the same thing. We would go right home, walk down Orm Street to my mother's, have lunch, and walk right back up to be back in time for school.
It was a little break in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Those were the days, Julie, weren't they? Those were the days.
Yeah, it was nice. It was wonderful, and I think it was a time when a kid could be a kid, truly.
Right.
It was
right.
It was a different time. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So tell me what's going on Saturday night, too. You were going to talk about an event Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night. Well, it's actually more afternoon. The time is 4 to 6.
Okay.
There will be a special a concert that's part of Fringe Festival at the Pocket Park downtown. That is, I know, I can't talk today. I don't know what month we're in, and I can't talk.
Yes,
it is
okay.
At the Christopher A. Doherty Park is the formal name, on the corner of Wyoming Avenue and Linden Street. It's fairly new. Scranton Tomorrow developed that plot of land and unveiled that earlier this year. But the Fringe Festival is happening this week, and it goes on until Sunday. You can find out more information about that at scrantonfringe.org. And Saturday, starting at 4 o'clock, there will be a Fringe Fest concert featuring musicians Nick Miller, who is also known as One Kind Soul, Rachel Lucille Woodworth, and Dave Brown. So they're going to do an acoustic performance in the park. I think it will be lovely. And this Fringe Festival is a celebration of the arts going on all week long in downtown Scranton. It's a wonderful thing, and there's a lot of local artists participating. So, yeah, that would be something good to do. A nice addition to the 4 to 6.
And Julie, I like the way you pronounced Chris Doherty's name correctly, just so you know.
How do you mispronounce it?
Well, people just say Doherty, and it's Doherty because he's Doherty. I mean, he is, because there's two spellings. That the other one people pronounce Doherty, D-O-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y, and then D-O-H, which is the Chris version. So it's, and that was my grandmother's, my great-grandmother's maiden name was Doherty. So, or Doherty, D-O-H, D-O-Doherty, just how you said it. You said it well, so.
I'm glad I said something properly today. I'm a little off.
Yeah, a little off.
No, that's a good way. All right. Well, we are taking our leave from you this week. We so appreciate you listening and coming along with us on a weekly basis. Thank you for that. And we hope you have a good weekend. It's going to be a nice one. So enjoy. Get out there. See the leaves. Get some pumpkins. Buy some apples. Do whatever you have to do and have some fun. And relax. And we will see you next week. And have a good weekend. Be safe. And please be nice. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.